Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 394. My name is Christopher Accio, and I'm here with Travis Baum.
Hello.
And subbing for Jeff Chorney today, Jason Oystrecker.
394? I think I missed a few.
You missed a few.
One or two.
What was the last one I was on? Like 186?
No, I think you were pretty much on 200 because we had it at IndusFest.
Oh my God.
So you had to be on that one.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think
that was 4 years ago, guys. That was 4 years ago.
That was a 4 years God. Ago. We're coming around, man.
I know.
We're coming around to that 10-year thing.
No. La, 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 la. Don't say that.
We made a promise to the people.
Did we?
Yeah.
What kind of promise?
If Indus was still around after 10 years, we would do another Indus Fest. That was a promise.
I've heard that before.
To the people.
I think we should do that. Episode 500.
Of the internet, our close friends. We won't let you down.
We're going to figure it out.
Hearing it here.
We're going to figure
it first, but it's going to happen if we're around in 10 years. Okay.
We're going to figure it out.
So yeah, we never talked about any of that before we started recording on the show. So that's all news to me. So we're doing this. It's happening.
We've always joked about it a little bit. So I mean, I want to.
Is Travis going to get his Indus cruise? Is this going to happen?
No.
Oh, come on. Indus cruise.
Indus cruise is indispensable. That's what it is.
Or we could have it in Charleston. We can have everybody come here and we can get a pontoon boat and just cruise the harbor. Technically, Indus cruise. It happens.
We should do it coast to coast. We start in Charleston, right? And right. We got on that riverboat and we hit the Panama Canal or something.
Jason,
I think
Jason,
you can still go through that, right?
Jason, what are you talking about?
Indus Caravan.
Caravan. So like after the fucking Gulf of Mexico, then we're going to sail up to the San Francisco Bay Area.
Right.
And then Indus Fest starts. And then it starts. The real
So now
Indus
everybody
Fest
knows that
here.
I am the realistic one.
So do we actually sail? No, wait. Do we sail the way around, like under South America, and around
to Panama
the West
Canal?
Coast?
I think it's
Panama
still
Canal,
like open.
Dude.
There's probably
but there
like
are like sanctions and stuff like that, right?
There's probably like a toll you have to pay.
So we'll have to act like spice traders and be like,
right?
You know, hey, how you doing? We got some spices.
When are we gonna get? Should we run up and get Jeff first, or have him meet us down somewhere? We should probably go pick him up.
Where is this
going? I mean, he's the talent of the show. So.
I don't know
really
how
is.
This does not lead
we
into
can't
a flight.
Expect him to
we
travel.
Gotta take a flight.
I'm open to the idea.
Okay.
Like a blimp?
Think about it. I mean, we're talking about water, ground, and air. This is
and
earth,
fire.
Wind, and fire kind of shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to take a Zeppelin. It's going to be a Zeppelin. We'll take a Zeppelin.
Do they make those?
In this blimp?
They don't make those anymore, I don't think.
We can get Robbie's company. We can get Robbie's company up in New York to do us a big Indus logo on the side of our blimp. It'll be epic.
There we go. I'm in. All right.
You guys
heard it here first. Big plans.
Indus
in
blimp is coming to
Indus blimp.
Indus blimp.
Anyway, so today what we're doing, we're going to do some distractions. Then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll have some news, new releases, and we'll talk about the question of the week that we're going to be doing next week. We're not doing it this week because the show just released yesterday. I think that's right. Just because we recorded on Monday or something like that. I don't remember. But before we do that, let's see what's going on. Jason.
Yo.
Haven't talked to you in a long time, brother.
Way too long.
How you doing? How you doing? Tell me what's up.
I think shit's up, you know, and it's good, I guess. I don't know. Nothing to really report. You know, the baby's
Griffin
still
is still
awesome.
Super cute. Yeah.
Yeah. He's really, really cute. So we've been learning like a high five. I taught him that the other day. We're working on our crawling. He's a super good eater. Mostly sleeping through the night. Man, he's great. Seriously. Like he's so much fun and he's so chill.
Lucky you.
I love that kid an awful lot. Yeah. Sorry.
No,
sorry, I have a good baby.
Jason got one of the
good
ones.
I have two horrible, apparently.
No, they're great.
I'm just kidding.
But other than that, just work stuff. We're getting into like a weird. We're trying to get more rigid with the schedule to try and free up some time so we could maybe take like a day off and like work from home and like prep for quick looks and stuff like that. But it, as it turns out, it's like more work to try and be more rigid with the schedule because we're pretty fluid dudes, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean. So that's been kind of challenging, but
yeah.
So growing pains with that, but it's fun still. Well, I mean, you know, obviously,
I never get to ask you this, Jay, but like, I've never asked you this ever. I mean, how is Giant Bomb? I'm sure listeners are kind of curious. Do you enjoy it? I mean, is it
yeah,
pretty dope
God,
job?
Yeah.
As dope as it seems it should be.
This is totally a dream job, you know, and, nice. I'm glad that I have this gig because I don't know if I could make it, you know, doing anything else. So yeah, this works out nicely.
I mean, how much
San Francisco sucks, but you know,
how
whatever.
Much have you learned? Like, from what you learned when you left Game Informer, going in the Giant Bomb, was it kind of like a whole new ball game for you? Or
it's very different. You know, I mean, I had the technical know-how, you know, and right. editing chops, you know, going in there, but I
yeah,
don't
you're
use
okay.
a lot of the editing stuff at Giant Bomb, you know, because we just kind of churn really? Out quick looks for the most part. So that just is like, you know, trimming off the head and. You know, and the butt end, but, mm-hmm. Managing, you know, people and just being more hands on with stuff and being, I don't know, it feels like I'm more in the industry, I guess, because,
that's
you know,
cool.
we meet a ton of people. So like, you know, forming relationships and, you know, there's always interesting conversations going along with that. Mm-hmm. And, just kind of, I don't know, that's very different. But every once in a while, it's like, shit, I kind of want like a really big editing project to work on. And
right.
I just don't have that opportunity right now.
Sometimes I'm like, damn, I wish I was editing a quick look right now. I think that all
there's
the
nothing
time.
To it. There's nothing to it.
There's nothing
like,
to it.
Yeah, we run everything through a TriCaster. So we do all of the, you know, switching live, essentially.
Oh, nice.
We record like an H.264 MP4. So everything is mixed in the TriCaster and then, you know, right. the audio mixer as well. And then we just take the fucking recorded file and we trim off the head and back and then
yeah.
we upload it. That's it.
That's it.
That's all that we do for it.
That's so cool. It's so simple.
It's the most, yeah, it's the most simple, like ghetto way of doing things, but, only having like two video people there, it's essential, you know, for us to get stuff awesome. Turned around right away.
Cool. Yeah. So I just wanted to ask you that. So I'm happy for that. That's awesome, dude. Good
yeah,
shit.
I think it's way different than most other outlets. Like, you know, over at GameSpot, you know, which is just like, you know, hallway down, you know, they've got like fucking 10, 20 video people and they are constantly working on stuff. They're constantly doing editing projects and they just have a completely different workflow. It's, you know, they do a lot of post stuff and we just don't. We record on fucking phones and just upload it and just go for it.
Right.
Very, very guerrilla, very ghetto. It's
That's
cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Those iPhones, man, those cameras look good.
Yeah, right.
They're not bad. I've
They're
seen some good
bad.
Stuff on an iPhone. It's kind of impressive.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Shit's good. Yeah. Shit's real good.
Good.
How,
good.
How about
Travis, what's up with you, man?
Nothing much, man. Just working. I think it sounds like my job, even though we're both in the business of video production in generalities, our jobs are like so completely different, so completely different. So today was one of those weeks where it was definitely, you know, a great example that, a lot of my job entails when I do videos, I'm doing initial creative intake, to get an idea, talk to our clients and just find out what's going on, you know, planning, scheduling, and then filming and then doing all the post-production client edits. And so it's this long process, a really deep video, you know, even at a minute and a half for a branding video to get it right the way we need to.
That's sometimes worse, though. You know, when
it's
shorter
it's 3 to 4 weeks,
the more like choices you have to make and the
exactly.
more like on point.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely a lot different than what you're doing. And like I said, this week was super, super crazy because we have a lot of projects starting. We have a lot of projects finishing. And then we had a big shoot in the middle of it. And it was like a 6-hour shoot. And it was supposed to be a little bit cloudy. There's a little bit of overcast. I was like, all right, good. That's going to be good for my lighting
good
right
light.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was excited about that. And it ended up being clear skies and about 95 degrees. Hottest day in Charleston was the day
Perfect.
That we shot for 2016. Yeah, it was the hottest day of the year so far.
That's the golden temperature right there. They call that.
And my man, I'm in corduroys and a button-down shirt. I did not think it was going to be that hot.
Please tell me it wasn't long sleeves, at least.
No, I rolled my sleeves up. So,
okay.
But right. man, because I want to look decent on my shoots and everything. I mean, when it's dead in the summer, I'm going to be shorts and a t-shirt, but they better get ready for it. So, but yeah, it's just one of those crazy, crazy weeks. Megan and I went and saw a Journey cover band here in Charleston.
What was their name?
Departure.
Departure? Yeah. Is that a play on anything?
Yeah. Well, these guys are from Atlanta. So if you have happened to stumble upon in Atlanta a Journey cover band, you've probably seen these guys. But the cool thing about it is the lead singer, Brian, is one of my wife's best friends from high school.
Oh, wow.
And I even worked with him a little bit at Best Buy for about a year. So I knew him as well. And so, yeah, it was kind of cool. We knew.
And then he made it big in a Journey cover band.
Yeah, they do.
Or is he still at Best Buy? Or?
No, he's not. Actually, we asked him that. Like, we asked him if this was his full time job, and it is. He quit his old job a couple of years ago. He doesn't have
That's
to.
That's pretty
they cool. They just tour. Sounds like a pretty dope life. I know he has a girlfriend or a wife. So
probably
I think
both.
A wife. So I don't know how he does that with touring all the time. So, but they're awesome.
They
were great. Like I'm a pretty decent Journey fan, and they're in there, and it's like fucking 90 degrees outside, and these guys are in black shirts, black leather pants, long hair draping down. They went full hair metal. It was awesome. It was a good time. Drinks were had. So and then today was just a lazy day to recuperate because working all day and then going out that same night on Friday.
Ooh, yeah.
It can be brutal. It can be really, really brutal. And I can listen
to our
young...
There's your weekend right there. Yeah.
I can hear our 22-year-old listeners being like a bunch of old pussies. Can't go out on a Friday night. Mm-hmm. Come on, just keel over and die already. But but no, I mean, it was a good weekend. I won't blab on much about it. But Chris, hit me.
Yo.
My man, what's going on?
Not a lot. We had a busy week this week at work, a successful deployment into production. On Wednesday, so that was been so far so good on that front. So that's a good thing. Let's see what else. Been paying attention to the NFL draft the past few days, so that's a thing.
Yes, indeed.
Pretty happy where the Broncos are. I'm not sure how you feel about your Saints, but
I'm massively sassified with our first few picks.
You're sassified.
I'm right. Sassified. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy overall. We did not pick a linebacker. But we took a couple of safeties, so there might be some coercing there, and maybe trying to get one of those into a linebacker spot or like a free them up. I don't know. We'll see. But overall, pretty happy. They picked up Paxton Lynch in the first round, quarterback, which they desperately needed. So, we'll see if he beats out, butt fumble Sanchez for the starting job in Denver. That's a little scary.
You go with your quarterback of the future there, though. You go with your quarterback of the future, I think.
And that's not the
behind.
Thing, it's like,
he can't learn anything behind Sanchez, I don't think.
Well, no, I agree. He's not going to learn anything from Sanchez, but he can learn from Elway and Kubiak. So
exactly, yeah,
it's,
for sure.
It's hard to determine whether or not they're going to start him. I guess it really depends on what he looks like in training camp.
Lynch
so.
Starts. He starts.
I'm hoping so, actually. Even he if starts. They have a rough year, I'm kind of hoping that he does start. But
yeah.
Yeah, they also picked up a pretty good running back in the fourth round, which I was impressed with. So, Devontae Booker. So we'll see how that works out too. But, but overall, that's pretty much it. Went to Taco Mac tonight, had dinner with some friends. They have, it's my friend Ian who I train with at the dojo. And, he's got a little boy, 10 years old. His name's Spencer, and he's like a red belt or blue belt or something like that. But he's, he's, kind of, almost like taking Liam under his wing a little bit, like,
That's
trying
great.
To help him with, karate. And, they were playing at the table, like playing tic tac toe and stuff like that. So that was really cool to see. And he's a pretty good kid. But, it's been a relatively good, weekend so far, but we still got tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be the Renaissance Festival. We're doing that. And then after that, what are we doing
what's
after
the,
that?
What's the temperature going to be like tomorrow?
Tomorrow,
70s.
That's not bad. Yeah.
Every time I went to the rent fair in Atlanta there, man, it was fucking terrible. Like,
heat-wise. Yeah. That's why we try and usually go early. We're still going a little bit later than usual this year, but, it's been pouring down rain today. And it's supposed to rain some tomorrow. So there's that to worry about. But, it still looks like it's going to be around the 70s. So, hopefully it won't be too bad. So
back when I was living in Minneapolis, we went to the Ren Fair, and it was actually a lot like back home in Atlanta. Like, it's the same shows, it's the same shops.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It's like, okay, that guy, I've seen him several times before in Atlanta, and he's just walking around. That's crazy. It's like
most of them most of them are pretty well affiliated, and they don't usually go on at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you know, the people around, that do the shows will travel around. Yeah, they'll travel around to the different Ren Fairs and that kind of thing. And that's how they make their living.
Carnies.
You know, I wouldn't want to do that, but, you know, they entertain us when we go, so more power to them. And I'm more than happy to you know, give them a few bucks whenever I have cash on me and I'm watching one of their shows. So, sure. I hope they, I like that stuff.
If you're calling, you know, your vocation in life is to just be like a shirtless, like, you know, juggler. I mean, what else are you going to do besides
the town fool
travel the lands at Ren Fests, across the United States?
Yep.
You know? Well, like a carny, like a damn dirty carny.
You'd be a carny, yeah. That's pretty much true.
Have you ever gone to the Renaissance fairs? Like, you guys have gone to them plenty of times. Have you ever viewed the people working there as carnies? Because it sounds like essentially that's what they are.
Every show, yeah. Oh, that's totally what they are.
I don't really look at
them like that. They don't get the carny moniker, but there's literally no difference.
No.
Like what they're doing compared to a carny.
It's essential what they are.
Half of them are drunk and or stoned.
Rightfully
I've seen
so.
Behind the, you know, the gates or the moats, as it were, and just saw all of their RVs parked out back.
Campers.
And there's just people just like, yep, people are just getting drunk back there. And they're carnies. No disrespect. Actually kind of a little bit. No,
maybe a little.
You guys are good at what you do. You guys are good at what you do. If there's any carnies listening.
Oh, sorry. Man, the carny demographic's huge in podcasting right
it
now.
Is you don't want to piss them off. They've got power.
We have a large population of carnies
at those like knife throwing booths. Yeah, they could throw them right back at you.
Watch out for them, they might come to Indusfest.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's it for me. So I think we should just move on right into our distractions and see what everybody's playing. So Jason, why don't we start with you?
I mean, I can kind of keep it brief, I guess. I've been on the Dark Souls.
You don't have to try
treadmill.
And keep it brief, man. Just tell us what you're playing, man.
But it's like, I mean, these are, you know, big games that I think you guys have probably talked about.
We have talked
considerably.
About, yeah.
Yeah, I talked about Dark Souls, I'm sure. Probably Street Fighter a little bit, at least. I'm sure Jeff has.
Not as much as you'd think, actually.
Yeah, he's not.
I mean, nothing new to really report on that front. You know, they just released Guile. He's real cool. I like him an awful lot.
Does he play
the
different?
Lobby system. No, he doesn't actually. They made him just dynamic enough to kind of fit in with that cast. Like he's actually kind of a combo monster up close, which is atypical of Guile, but he's still a very defensive player, still got charge motions, you know, Sonic Boom, Flash Kick and stuff. So they're bringing him kind of up to speed as far as, you know, the rest of the Street Fighter cast in the Street Fighter 5 cast, I should say. So
okay.
It's been kind of interesting. He's only been out like a few days and I've really only spent like an hour or two in training mode, with him. I haven't played him online yet because shit's fucking busy at home. So, I maybe get like, you know, 2 hours a night or something like that to play stuff. And I've been trying to focus on stuff for work, but, in
so
between that's.
How's the status of Street Fighter right now with, you know, the updates that are coming? Has it improved much? I mean, I know they added lobbies
they have
and everything.
They have a full-on lobby now, right?
So. Yeah, they've got a full-on lobby, and that's been working out great. Spectator mode, yeah, kind of hit or miss sometimes. But the past few times that I've done, like, the full-on Battle Lounge, it's been pretty seamless, you know, with the exception of, like, some weird hiccups here and there, which is expected for, like, any kind of online game. But, I mean, you know, the game in and of itself, the core of that game is great. It's really, really fun to play. And that's what I'm in it for, that and, like, you know, lobbies. And I've got that now. So I'm fine. However, anybody that's still looking for any kind of, like, single-player experience, I don't know why you're playing fighting games by yourself, but... there's nothing there for you. And, it's really weird. Like, you know, seeing other fighting games come out, even shit that's like flying under the radar, like, you know, some of the stuff that's like coming out of Japan, that's like fan made. Those are more fully featured, maybe have better storylines. You know, they've got challenges. Like their launch is actually way, way better than what, the Street Fighter offerings were. But
it's always been baffling to me. Every time Street Fighter news came up, that just talked more about the delays that are going to happen and things people
it's
are not going
to
be receiving day one.
Yeah.
I'm not emotionally invested in this game because I've been, you know, a little bit removed. Basically, since you moved, Jason, we all stopped playing fighting games. It just got to the point where I wasn't very, like I said, I wasn't emotionally attached to it, but every time news came out, it just blew my mind, and I just like flipped out on air. It's like, what is going on? Why are these why is Capcom specifically doing this to this game?
Yeah, in particular.
It can't be that hard. Every single game in the world puts out features in their games.
And I mean, this is Street Fighter. They have a legacy and they've been doing this for a while. And, you know, they had a lot of stuff going on in Street Fighter 4. You know, why? I mean,
I was on the cusp. I was on the cusp of saving enough money for Street Fighter and a fight stick. I truly was. I was really thinking about it. And when that news came out, it just completely shut me off. I could almost care less about playing it.
Well,
that's a bad thing. They could have had a sale.
They could have. Here's the thing, though. Like, I mean, what you're in it for is local play, right? Mm-hmm. Playing online with friends, and you want a good game, right?
Yeah.
That is there. That is totally there.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do delay stuff, you know, if there is some like jank stuff that they're missing or whatever, does it really matter in the long run? I mean, from like a review perspective or from like a completely casual who just wants to play it, you know, solo, does that shit really matter? To me, I wouldn't think that it does, but.
Right.
I mean, for me personally, I see
your point because, I mean, because Street Fighter has been all about the, you know, playing with friends or playing online with people and everything like that. So I can understand that viewpoint is completely valid if that's all you want. But when I play a fighting game, if they offer like a decent first person story mode, not first person, like just a story mode in general.
Right.
Yeah, I'd be down for it. I'd be down. I'd want to play it, but then to buy to realize that that's not there, that would suck. And I know that's not the point of fighting games, but I enjoy those things. Like Mortal Kombat, I really enjoyed the revival of Mortal Kombat because of that really neat story mode. The story was crap and it was aggravating, but it was so campy. It was enjoyable to play it in this fighting game genre.
Right.
And but we've never done that before.
It was fleeting, right? Like you went through it once and
sure it was.
All
but right, so was Uncharted. That was you know, nice. It's fleeting. Yeah. I beat it and that was it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to talk about shitty games. No. But no, I totally get that as well. And there definitely are people that, you know, don't want to play online really. You know, they're totally fine just playing offline, you know, by themselves. You know, if there is like a good single player stuff, and Mortal Kombat did that really, really well.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a lot of unlockables and, you know, they.
It was just much more fleshed out. It was just so,
yeah. NetherRealm so like really knocked that shit out. You know, even with like Injustice, there was so much more.
I was just going to say that. I was like, it wasn't just that either. I mean, even Injustice that had a lot of that stuff in it too. And it goes back to, what was it? MK versus DC or whatever it was. That had some nifty stuff in it too. I mean, it wasn't fantastic, but it's more than what Street Fighter had.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. So yeah, I can't fault anyone who, you know, is in it for the single player experience, and I can't recommend it. I'm like, just fucking stay away. Seriously. But
sure.
If really all you want is, you know, the fighting, you know, the game is, And I can't like speak highly enough about that. Like they've done some really, really good balancing. I like the characters and, it's tough, man. And it breaks my fucking heart. It's like Street Fighter V, I want to love the shit out of you. You make it really, really hard sometimes, but I mean, we still cool. We still pretty cool. Do you know what I mean? it's frustrating. It's frustrating.
I feel you.
You love what you love, man.
And you spoke about like, you know, whenever you're reading about like these delays or stuff like that, in the press, it's like, that's a lot of people focus on that stuff. You know, and it, you know, it's left a really, really bad taste in people's mouths. Mm-hmm. And, they've got a rep now. It's like, it's frustrating because, you know, like I said, the core game, really good. But all right. No more Street Fighter rants.
What else you been playing, man?
That Dark Souls real, real close to the end. I think I got like two bosses left. That's been a pretty good game. It's been pretty Dark Soulsy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, no real change there, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Dark Souls is pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good game.
What the fuck else is going on?
I hear the new game plus is a little underwhelming.
I don't think I'm going to touch it. I don't know.
Really?
Maybe
go back to it in the future.
I don't know if I need to. Possibly. I don't know.
There'll be DLC. There's DLC this year and then DLC early next year. So
early next year, yeah. I'll probably come back for that if I get invested enough. But if I haven't been like invested enough in the storyline,
right?
at a near the end, I'm not sure, but you know, if they give me new areas and new weapons and, you know, cool shit to discover, yeah, I could totally check that out. The story in the game, man, what the fuck? I have no idea what's going on, and I keep pissing people off inside of my game, and I don't even know what I'm doing. And it's like, all right, I talked to that guy, and then you're gone now.
Exactly.
This is fucking high school.
Do you
school?
Do the same thing that I do, where I'll play through that game? Like, see, I usually play through a Souls game. I'll beat it, go through New Game Plus, and maybe get about 50-75% through New Game Plus. But then I still remember that I don't really understand what the fuck is going on with this story. Like,
no
it's
idea.
Exact
yeah.
same thing that you're talking about. And are you the type of person, like, I go on YouTube and I'll watch, like, Dark Souls 2, the full story. I'm like, all right, cool. Now it's time to understand what this bitch is all about. So I go and I watch it. And you remember some key moments, but to me, it's like, how can you craft this epic tale based off of these tiny segments of this game? I don't understand it.
When so, like, much of that information is so just like buried in, like, you know, the item descriptions of this particular weapon that you never found, you know, how would you put all this shit together? It's like the only way to get like the full story is to actually go on YouTube and, you know, watch these hour long videos that, you know, that they're explaining all of, I haven't done it. I haven't done it and I feel no need to, but that's just me.
It's it's one of the things that the game is, every Souls game is praised for its storyline. Do you notice that? Like, it's praised for the storyline, but yet the story is never really good. And then in the Souls series, the story is just a fucking repeat of the last one.
Yeah. That's,
it's the same fucking story every time.
As far as I can tell. Yeah. Totally. And
there's a flame.
They
you
go
can light
out of their
it,
way.
Or you cannot light it. And that's every game. That's every game. I don't understand. Like,
they go out of their way to hide their story as much as possible, which flies in the face. I mean, Dark Souls just flies in the face of modern video game.
Now, the
shit.
Tone of their stories is really, really good. Like, the mood of their story. It's super dark and it's impactful when things do happen that you can understand. But, like, I wouldn't necessarily say it's good storytelling.
I'll tell you what is impactful. My Dragon Slayer spear. That motherfucker has, it's got a fucking handle at the front of it. Dude, you fucking L2 charge with that shit, and it starts charging up with lightning. You fucking gore a son of a bitch, and then they, like, explode and, like, oh, God. That's where I get my Dark Souls from.
Yeah,
oh,
nice.
Oh, that's so good. So good. But yeah, like I said, just a couple bosses left, and then I think I'm gonna sit it out until some of that DLC starts hitting. But I can't play online with that at all. For whatever reason, whenever I try and connect to online, it just kicks me right back to the main menu. So I haven't been able to summon anyone or see any of the, you know, the messages or any shit like that. I have no idea what's going on, and I've tried everything that I can, and nobody else seems to be having this problem. So.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
Yeah, that's weird.
Dark Souls, Street Fighter. I just picked up Alien Nation, actually.
Yes!
Housemarque joints. Dead Nation. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, it was with zombies and shit.
Yeah, yep. this is a little like that, but with bugs, alien bugs, but also like a much, much better like loot system and progression system. And like, it's a twin stick shooter, right? You know, so gameplay is really good.
This is what happens. Alien Nation is the product of when Destiny and Diablo have a baby. That's essentially what it is. It feels like Diablo and like the Witcher, the you walk around with a primary, a secondary, and a heavy and a grenade, and like
it
feels very much like from like you're basically a guardian. You're walking around, you're killing mutants and stuff instead. Mm-hmm.
I was having trouble with that distinction.
I'm listening,
like,
Chris.
Alien Nation is way better than Destiny, but
you're allowed your opinion.
It seems like the role playing elements and the simplicity of Destiny with the play style of and like the loot system of a Diablo, right?
I think it's mostly a Diablo, and it's more of the situation where, like, in reality, when I play this game, I sometimes accidentally hit square trying to reload because I feel like the the guns that you pick up and stuff like
Destiny.
That.
Destiny. Yeah.
It's very much like Destiny. So, gotcha. It's like the actual subject matter and like the weaponry you pick up and that kind of thing and how you have, there's three different classes and each class has like a certain set of skills that you get to advance and the skills get more powerful and you can actually, set them up in different ways and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that. That's where some of that feel of Destiny, but this game plays like Diablo. I mean, let's be honest with you. It feels like you're playing Diablo with guns and it's fantastic.
So a demon hunter, basically.
Essentially. And I mean, it goes as far as like, yeah, it goes as far as like, while you're on huge maps and the missions are small pieces of these huge maps. And, the one thing that's different from something like Diablo is that the map is always the same. There's different locations and different maps, but it's not randomly generated like Diablo 3 was. But there's like, random, events that are around the map. Like you can fight fight bosses. They call them like Xenos commanders or something like that. And they're essentially like the elites from Diablo. Yep. And they drop more loot. And then there's challenges that you can start up and like you'll go in and you'll start the challenge and you'll like get mobbed by, you know, aliens. And then all of a sudden you'll be in the middle of playing your mission and it'll say, Horde is coming or whatever. And like this fucking horde of mutants shows up and just starts, you have to just demolish them. And, you know, you switch to your fucking
plasma shotgun.
Exactly.
Yep.
You just switch to the plasma shotgun and you just blast them to pieces. The loot is satisfying and, there's a very simple.
And fluid as well.
It really is. It's, you're always getting new stuff, it seems. But the thing is, when you find that one piece, that one legendary item, that first legendary item, it's like, holy shit, this is so much better than everything I have right now. You know,
because
it's like,
you got something.
It's like,
so speaking on that, just real quick, in that, like, you know, the stuff is fluid. You can re-roll stats. You get like items that you can, you know, like crafting materials essentially. And, you know, if you do find that fucking awesome, you know, item, but maybe the DPS isn't as, you know, where, you would like it to be, you can re-roll that stuff and they make it in a really intuitive way. Like it'll show you, like, you know, your range. Like here's the DPS, here what it's currently at. It's at like the top like 2/3. That's probably pretty good. Do I want to risk re-rolling this? Or is that like meter like way down at the bottom and you know that your next roll is going to get you something much higher anyway.
Right. So. Yeah, it sounds deeper than what you would definitely not expect from Housemarque, for sure.
Not for like a $20 game. I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, this is a $20 game. And like what he was leading to and like the re-rolling of stuff, you can also upgrade all your weapons and like there's like upgrade trees. And if you don't like the upgrade tree you have, you can re-roll your upgrade tree. And there's no limit. Like there's no limit to what you can re-roll. I haven't actually done this part. So I'm not 100% sure about this, but from what I understand, there's no limit to what you can re-roll. Like you can re-roll one stat and then re-roll another one. As long as you have the materials to do it, who cares? Mm-hmm. Right. And then like the actual progression system for the weapons is so easy. Like it's just a tree and there's colored circles in the tree. A white circle, you can put pretty much anything there and it's going to give you a stat boost. But then there's other colored circles, like there's a red circle. Well, there's red upgrade spheres that you can put in there. If you put a red one in there, then you get a second
power,
bonus
yeah.
to it. Yeah. So you can put anything in that sphere, in that circle. But if you actually match the color to the sphere, then you get a bonus modification.
You're slotting in gems. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically slotting in gems. Here's kind of the meat of it. I found when I was playing with John and Slugga the other night, I found two legendary weapons. I found a legendary primary and a legendary minigun. All right. My primary that dropped, it dropped at like, I want to say it was like 2000 or 2500 DPS. I maxed out the skill tree and it was 4800 DPS. I mean, it's really significant. And then, with the minigun, it dropped at like 4000 and I maxed it out and it was like 8400. I mean, like the upgrades really matter. And the cool thing about that is like you pick up all these spheres and you can easily modify those into others, like in Division where you can upgrade materials and that kind of thing. You can do the same thing in this. It's like you get, if you have level one spheres, three of them make a level two sphere. You have three of those, makes a level three sphere. So you can max it out as much as you can and you just get these just amazingly powerful weapons out of it. It's just really satisfying.
There's a lot of smart shit going on in that game.
Yeah, no for doubt.
Sure. For a game that might get like super repetitive, or just kind of bare bones, like the things that they do with some of the upgrade systems is just super smart and super engaging. And that's above and beyond the Call of Duty. And that's what makes this, that game, I think, so fucking fun.
Yeah. It's neat. And the cool, one of the other things that I really like, I'm going to be playing a lot for a while, but another thing that I really like is that the three classes are very different and, excuse me, and they don't feel like anything that you've seen in other games that are similar. Like I'm using the bio specialist, and the bio specialist has a heal. Okay. The heal is just a heal. It's nothing special. But then it has these wraiths.
Oh my god, they're so good.
They're so good. And there's like these, like three, like weird ghostly shapes that fly out of his back, and they just like hover around the screen, hitting all these enemies and just fucking wrecking them the whole time. And then you can upgrade those to be like vampires, where the damage that they do regenerates a percentage of your health. So the bio specialist has all these little techniques that they can do to take out enemies without actually having to deal with them at all. So like a horde shows up, you knock off the wraiths, you turn on like he has a poison trail, and you can just walk around and watch them all die and not fire a shot. It's awesome.
And then fuck it, just throw mines behind you too.
Yeah. Why or not? That fucking boomerang. Have you played with the boomerang at all?
Yeah.
The boomerang is
my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite too. I love it. And then, I think Slugga was playing with the, what's the third class? There's the bio, the tank, and then,
kind of like an assassin type. They can turn invisible.
Yeah, yeah. And he has found a real good use for it. Oh, try out the airstrike.
Okay. So like get in the middle of a group Slugga and then call it down. Like
maxed out airstrike, and that thing saved our lives probably four or five times while we were playing. And it was amazing. Like you see these little rings surrounding each player, mm-hmm. and the ring grows larger and larger and larger, and it basically encompasses all the enemies that are within your radius and just decimates them all with an airstrike. It's nice. Really, so obviously the airstrike is better when you're playing co-op. So it's kind of like all of the classes are support classes for the others. It's really, really nice the way they did it.
So is that part of, like the assassin class?
Yes. I know what I'm calling airstrike it. Is, yeah.
Right. So if I like put points into like the cloak, invisibility stuff, I can actually like unassign those points in between maps and then go down that tree as well. So
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can respec essentially between maps. Yeah.
That's awesome. So it's like if you level up a skill and you don't like it, or you find out that you like another skill more, you can just unassign the points and reassign them at any time. It's fantastic. Like that.
That's really nice. I like that.
The game is fantastic. It's $20 and it is a steal for $20. I am loving the hell out of it.
So. It's what I wanted Helldivers to be, I think.
I would agree. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I think if anybody has any passing interest in Helldivers, but it's like, fuck friendly fire. Fuck, this is really, really hard. Dude. Yeah. Check out Alienation.
This is what you want. Yeah. This is what you want. Cool. All right. Anything else?
No. I'll let you know. Okay. I always forget something. I always do.
Travis, what you got?
Let's see, a little bit of Dark Souls. Myself, I'm halfway through Lothric Castle. I kind of hit a little bit of a rut. But then Iron Banner happened in Destiny. Iron Banner has been fantastic. It's Clash. It's obviously the game type that Iron Banner needs to be and stay at. The matches
Clash
go by
faster.
Clash
is 6-on-6 deathmatch pretty much, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. 6v6 team deathmatch. And it's just the best way it could go. I mean, you shave 2 or 3 minutes off of each control match that you would do in Iron Banner, so it's much faster. It's more fun. With the new upgrading system, we knew loot was going to be super plentiful, and especially when we, you know, start getting in the upper 330 light levels, we know the 335 is going to be dropping like crazy. And so, I mean, not only do you have a lot of your Iron Banner people playing, now you have your Trials of Osiris people coming in and play because Iron Banner is now lucrative. The competition out there is so fierce. Usually good, heavy competition lasts for about a couple of days. But man, it's been nonstop. It has been nonstop, but it's been good matches. Even to, and of course, it's a first-person shooter, competitive shooting game, and you're fighting other human beings. Yes, you're going to get worked up. You're going to get excited. But I will say, even matches that I've lost, I could say that I was having a legitimate good time, even for a loss, because the matches are so close. I very, very few matches, you know, ended past, you know, one team up 1,000 points. I mean, it's, like I said, the competition, fantastic in that. And it's been a good time. I started, Chris, I mean, this is, I'm so sad you're not playing a lot of Iron Banner because of Alienation, but, I started Iron Banner with only two items at light level 335, and that was my cloak and my ghost. Everything else was below it. Okay. Some stuff even in the 320s. And just in a few days of playing Iron Banner, I only need one piece of 335 gauntlets to be full 335. I mean, just the drops are insane. They're super, super good. I mean, so even cool, if you, yeah. Chris, even if you play, remember, if you play on like, you know, Sunday night or Monday, you know, those Iron Banner rewards have multiplied astronomically, so you can at least get one good run through and see if you can get some higher pieces, because the drops are hot. They really are. All
right, we'll see. My highest character right now is my Warlock, and I think she's at 229. So
229? Okay, yeah. Cool. You mean 329?
Yes, that's what I meant.
Yeah, okay, 329. Okay. I was like, Chris, that's not very good. that's not very good at all. What else? What else?
You're part of the problem, Travis. That's peer pressure.
I'm gonna bring up a game I played and finished up a few weeks back. Actually, I played it on an airplane to and from Puerto Rico. But it's a little independent point and click type adventure game. It's an independent game on Steam only. It's called Oxenfree. It's actually published by Robert Kirkman of The Walking Dead fame's publishing company. I want to say if you just flat out like that genre, I won't talk too much about it. It's really simple puzzles, really interesting story, very spooky kind of game, cool supernatural flair to it. If you're a fan of like the mythos of shows like Lost or anything like that, this game will be right up your alley, because it's got that just, you know, your Twin Peaks weird craziness happening all over the place, and but in that point and click adventure type game, you know, genre.
I kind of like the dialogue in that game too.
The dialogue's cool, yeah. So you have those branching choices and everything, and you know, I was playing on an Xbox 360 controller, because when I fly on a plane, I actually bring my laptop with me, and I set it on the upright tray. And I hook up my wired Xbox 360 controller and just literally play a video game. And, you know, and that's just kind of what I do. And I get weird looks. I don't know why. It seems normal to me.
Gosh, you're playing a video game on a plane? You're such a nerd.
I'm an asshole holding a controller on an airplane. You know, a portable makes sense, but you know, a full setup is kind of weird. But yeah, no, it's good. Yeah. So the dialogue choices are good. The voice acting's fantastic. It's really cool. All the characters are very stereotypical, different versions of high school teenagers, but the voices do it like Gone Home. What was the game? Cause Gone Home was good at this game. Life is Strange. Like they didn't understand. They didn't get how teens were. Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a bunch of 30 and 40-year-olds guessing how life was when they were kids, and maybe asking their children, hey, what are some fly, hip words you kids use? Like, hella. Give me more of that stuff. This game, Oxenfree.
A little more believable, I think.
It's a lot more believable, and it's a flat-out cool game. I like it. So, Jason, I assume you played it, or maybe even you guys
just
did
a little bit of it.
Something.
Yeah. I don't even think we did a quick look on this, but no, it's been kind of on my radar for quite a while. And I've been meaning to not sleep on this. I totally want to check this out. It came out at a really bad time, so
it really did for me too. But I just happened to have this flight where I would have like a, you know, 5-hour flight, you know, twice. So it gave me plenty enough time to beat that one. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really cool. I just like good, you know, moody, dark games like that.
Yeah,
then,
totally.
The dialogue choices are pretty cool, and it doesn't. And the dialogue choices are automatically, like in a Telltale game, as much as I love those, like the dialogue choices really make your, I don't know, sometimes it's very uncomfortable making the choice because you're like, and they put a timer on you and everything. In this game, like, you just never feel pressured to make a certain decision. You just speak how you feel you are speaking.
Or I like if you the put word yourself- bubble choices that come up. It's just that it's got a real good look. Seriously.
Even though, yeah, the art style for the characters too, everything's just hand drawn. It's really nice. I like it. Speaking of Walking Dead and Telltale and stuff like that, I finished up the final chapter for Walking Dead Michonne. Kind of like our 300 days of from season 2 to season 3, which is upcoming. So that's something to be excited about. Season 3 is going to happen. Robert Kirkman officially announced that we will see Clementine again. So she's and we will be playing as her. So he did confirm that Clementine is going to be the main character of Walking Dead season 3, which is really no shock. But the Michonne game, look, episode 1 and 2 I was not very pleased with. The being Michonne was very, very cool because she's an established character and I got to play her just as close to the comics as I thought I could, so I'm very happy with trying to match up her persona with my favorite parts of her character from the comic. So that part's great.
Real quick question. So this is obviously backstory for her, is that correct? Or does this fall in line with the stuff in the comics? Or
yeah, so since the Telltale games are canon, Kirkman gave them the ability to play as Michonne because Michonne is MIA in the comic books from issue, like, and I'm paraphrasing my numbers here, from like 127 to like 138 or something. Like she's something like that. MIA. Right. So almost for an entire year in comic book release time, Michonne wasn't in the comic books. And this is supposed to bridge kind of what happened to her in that time, but they only had three episodes to do it in to tell the story of this personal and external struggle that she's dealing with. But the issues are the internal struggle is kind of interesting, and it has an okay payoff at the end. It's a little cheesy, but it's okay. But the external struggle, you know, what she has to face with physically in the world is just not interesting. And you're just thrown into these characters. Okay, hey, it's canon, but you're not giving me enough time. You're just throwing me into the shit with these characters, and I never have much time to really empathize with what's going on with them. I don't know them. You're not giving me time to get to know them. We're just kind of jumping into the Walking Dead universe, and you know, shit goes crazy. So this three episode scheme that they have going on right now, I'm not a fan of it. They should go 5 or 6 episodes like they've been doing. But I wasn't too hot on it. But episode 3 did pick up just a little bit. They gave us more time to talk. It's definitely the longest episode out of all of them that have been released by like another 15, 20 minutes, which is good because the other ones were so, so short.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, really, really short. And it's just kind of surreal actually talking bad about a Telltale game. Like I'm usually right, yeah, so high from on you, these. Yeah. Yeah, I'm usually so high on these. But it was just kind of a brutal thing. And I want to say that I'm crossing my fingers that they kind of just like had a small team on this while they're, you know, I mean, cause they have
making
Batman.
10
have
other,
a,
yeah.
We have a Marvel one coming in a year, year and a half. We have Walking Dead 3. We don't know about Borderlands.
So
we don't
saturated.
Is so much going on, so I'm kind of just crossing my fingers that they just had like half the team to build this, and that just the creative side may have fell short. And another thing, as a comic book fan, that really, really bothers me about this is that they were marketing this as this was bridging the gap and telling us what happened to Michonne, and there's hardly ever any reference to Alexandria, where she came from, where everyone else in the comics, you know, are. Mm-hmm. They don't just reference anything. She doesn't talk about Ezekiel. She doesn't talk about... There's not much that is going on that says, okay, this is everything that happened to her, because it doesn't feel like that. I mean, it was okay.
This sounds like a tough one.
It's a tough one. I mean, I'm not going to say I didn't like it. It's not bad. I was just a little hurt. I thought Telltale was going to put their best on the Walking Dead IP for their games, and it just, I mean, this is what brought them to the dance, man. Like Walking Dead was it, like, and to put out a lackluster three episode series was just, I mean, 300 days the interlude in between 1 and 2 was way better than these 3 full episodes starring a character that is one of my favorites in the book and in the TV show. So that's saying a lot. It just wasn't really that great. So,
I have it on good authority that they're working on like a Smurfs series as well, and that is taking up a lot of their time.
Well, that's so. Smurfing fantastic.
Right, right. They're only 3 apples high, but like they're hurting. There's a lot of interpersonal relationships that they have to deal with. Jokey Smurf is the star of the series, right? I mean, he's your favorite and mine. Everybody's, I think. Brainy. Yeah. Really good.
Exactly. Yeah, sure.
But yeah, they've got most of the people working on that and Heathcliff. Like a reboot of Heathcliff. You remember Heathcliff? He was like,
he was Garfield, the poor man's Garfield.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, they've got their hands in so much stuff.
They do. It's a lot going on.
They're now working on Heathcliff or Smurfs.
Now, the Keebler Elves, a Telltale series, I'm super pumped about. Yeah.
Lots of different times for that. Yeah.
Because the trailer was amazing, and then
that's
Batman
coming right before Snap, Crackle, and Pop, right?
You just killed my joke. I was going to say in the trailer where they revealed Snap, Crackle, and Pop were the antagonist, and you just fucked up my joke. You just killed it.
Those are the only 3 choices you have throughout. Every time you're faced with a situation, you either Snap, Crackle, or Pop.
Crackle, or Pop.
Or do nothing.
Pop. Oh man! Speaking of obscure cartoons, did you guys see Animaniacs is on Netflix now?
That's great. Thing.
I've been watching that like crazy.
I tried to get Chris,
watch
into
it with
a
your kids.
Bit, but...
Like it'll be just as enjoyable for you as it is for them.
I know.
It's so good.
They'll pick up all kinds of adult humor.
There is a lot in there.
I didn't watch Animaniacs until I was a little bit older than them.
My wife and I watched the first 4 episodes. We'll put this in distractions. This week, my wife were watching the first 4 episodes, and we were sitting there. We're like, oh my God, it's actually shocking how good the writing is on this show. Like, we were just talking about how smart it was. It was like really intelligent comedy, but this is a show for kids. It's really, I'm serious. Like, go back and watch it. It's super smart.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Anything else, Travis?
No, man. It's your turn. Go.
Well, we already talked about Alan Nation. The only thing the only other thing I played was Destiny, and we've already talked about that too. So, that's distractions, ladies and gentlemen.
So, yes, that's a good thing.
Forgot to talk about Hoops.
Did you play Hoops?
It's fun. It was really, 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 really fun.
I've not done it yet.
Yeah.
Super good. Gets super chaotic if it's like 4v4. You got to be pretty good at aerials to stand.
And that kills it for me.
Not necessarily. Like, the only big time that you have to use an aerial is at the beginning. And it's really just kind of a straight on. It'll make you better at aerials. How about that? And I'm not talking like flying, like, you know, all the way up to the top of the screen. Just like, you know, maybe halfway up. It's really not that bad. But yeah, Hoops is fun, especially in like a 2v2 kind of thing. Because the court's a lot smaller.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird. It's really, really weird. Anyway, Hoops is good. I mean, it's fucking free. You've already got Rocket League, right?
Of course.
Go play it and go play Hoops. It's the best sports ball thing. There are new toppers. Yeah, new toppers.
That's all you need, man. As long as you have new toppers, you're good.
You got new toppers and Hoops. It's fun. Okay.
All right, cool. Why don't we take a break?
Yeah.
Sure. Right,
when we're going to come back, we'll do some news, new releases, and we'll talk about the question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. It's time to wake up.
You welcome back.
Thank you, Travis.
Sorry,
good filling.
I was eating strawberries.
Good filling. Thank you.
I like strawberries too, Jason. Thanks.
Bananas are super good.
Bananas
too.
Are also good.
Do we need to repeat that entire conversation again?
No, we certainly do. Let's talk about news.
Yeah, news.
There was news.
There was.
Do you want me to kick
news.
It off?
Yeah, kick it off, Travis.
All got? Right, let's see here. So apparently, Gearbox is working on Borderlands 3. So this is my, and I've not been ashamed to say it, is my heterosexual man crush. Randy Pitchford, he revealed on Twitter that Battleborn and a whole bunch of stuff's happening there. I'm sorry, I'm reading through this article. Pitchford has been open about more Borderlands in the past, and he's been teasing new projects and stuff like that. But he basically came out and made a quote saying that, with the success of Borderlands in the past, that they are actively working on Borderlands 3. He didn't say how many people are working on it, but it is going to be happening. We should be seeing.
Where does this leave Duke Nukem?
Duke Nukem.
Damn it. We haven't heard anything about that besides them losing the license and lawsuits and Randy Pitchford being a dick, kind of sometimes, but.
But he's a beautiful man.
More Borderlands. Fine, I guess. Okay, sure.
Some people may want that.
Yeah.
Give it to him. Yeah. Go ahead, Randy. It's all yours. I don't know about you guys, but I'm personally very excited about this news. I like Borderlands. I like Borderlands 2, and I think I'm going to like Borderlands 3. So I believe that this is great news, though. Correct?
What about Borderlands Australia?
This is fantastic. Did you like news. That? I'm really, really happy with Borderlands. Yes, Borderlands Australia was awesome, Jason. Thanks.
Was it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Wasn't that Mad Max Fury Road? Didn't we just watch that version?
Yeah, maybe.
That's what it was.
I didn't, in all seriousness, I did not play the pre-sequel. Did you guys play the pre-sequel at all?
No, because I didn't want to fucking jump around on the moon with like an air supply.
No, and I wanted Borderlands 3.
An air supply cover band would be pretty cool. But no, that was Borderlands Australia. That was a different kind of Borderlands.
Okay.
Did not interest me.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet. I do want to try it. I just haven't played it yet. But yeah, Borderlands 3 is very exciting. I'm glad to hear that's coming out.
Very cool. So am I reading through all these, or are we going to flip-flop around?
I can give a little bit on the next one. So didn't we already talk about this last week a little bit?
Did we? I don't think so.
So Dark Souls developers is apparently working on a new IP. They've already come out and said that the Dark Souls series is over. They have not discussed whether or not we're going to have any sequels to this new IP, but they said that they did want to take something they did want to take a step in a new direction, and the development of the new IP has already begun.
That's cool.
So yeah, this is good, pretty exciting for people of fans that are of From Software. I think it'd be great to see something new from them. I mean, I think that they make really high quality stuff, and I'm interested to see what they do.
They did say specifically new IP, so we're not we shouldn't expect like a Bloodborne 2.
Nope.
That they're working on currently, or okay,
yeah, because that's kind of buried in the architecture of a Souls game. So I think it would be a cop out to make another game. Like
I wouldn't doubt that they're going to make another Souls game. Just not Dark Souls. They might do Demon Souls 2 or something like that, but
they can't. I don't know if they can do that. I think Sony has that, right?
Well, they can make it for Sony.
Yeah,
I mean, they can make it for a PlayStation as a PlayStation exclusive.
Technically they could, but I would like to see. So my original thing is, I was kind of sad when you said a new IP because I wanted Armored Core.
Yeah, they already came out and said that there was no, it wasn't going to be Armored Core either.
Yeah, so that's
Metal Wolf Chaos 2. Wait, that's an existing. IP. Cookies and Cream 2. Well, no, there's this already sequel to that.
I do want to read this from Miyazaki, though. He did say, personally, I want to do it, speaking to Armored Core. He says, after all, I was involved in 3 games in the series. Armored Core is one of the pillars of From Software's lineup, but I can't reveal anything at this moment. What does he mean by I can't reveal anything at this moment?
Oh, I have does no that doubt mean that there's going to be another Armored Core.
Does that mean that there is some...
PS1?
But yeah. But PS2? Does that mean that there's something to reveal about Armored Core? I'm trying to read between the lines here. That's just a weird...
I mean, was he speaking in reference to this new IP, and people were asking about Armored Core, and then he was like, I would love to, But I mean, I can't reveal anything about this new IP.
Yeah, that's kind of where what happens.
So. He wasn't talking about a new IP right there. He was asked specifically about Armored Core.
Okay.
That's just a weird way. I'm speculating, like, so take this with a grain of salt, people, please. But that's just a weird way to end that statement.
There's going to be another Armored Core game. Okay. The last one that came out was for.
I wouldn't have thought that 5 years ago.
Really? I mean, Armored Core 5 came out on PS3 and 360, like in.
Which was pretty good. Yeah.
I remember that. No, I played it.
Or something like that. I mean, I completely expect them to make another Armored Core for them.
It's just been so long.
It has been, yeah. It's been 4 years.
It's been so long.
But I have a feeling they're going to do it.
The last one that they brought out was it 4 Ant? Oh shit, I forget. I was not that high on that one. They added a lot of, I don't know, weird stuff to that. Weird multiplayer stuff to that, and I wasn't as into it. I would love to see a brand new Armored Core. I would love to see one that's the hardcore Armored Core fans are going to fucking, you know, like skewer me, but I would love to see one that's a little more accessible. Like, they've always done like mech combat really, really well, but it's kind of hard to play.
But deep, like, really deep though, with upgrading and everything, like, you can invest a lot of your time and resources into building specific things, which is really cool. So you take ownership. You're just not playing as a robot. Like, it's yours. And that was always special.
There we go. Verdict Day. Yeah, that was the weird ass one. That was 2013.
I don't recall playing that one.
Good. Yeah. Good. Skip it. Skip it.
Yeah, Armored Core 5, I think the last, you know, legit
proper release.
I think Verdict Day was completely pretty good. Different, wasn't it, or something like that?
Yeah. Well, like not completely different. No. Like I said, they had that weird, like, you know, faction based stuff. Like, it was very, very multiplayer focused and less on the single player stuff. But yeah, 4 was real good. Yeah. 4 Answer, 5. Yeah. I like Armored Core a lot. Yeah.
I do too. So From Software, if you're making anything, add big robots to it. Whatever your new IP is, even if it is another Souls game, just add massive robots. It'll be
also another Cookies and Cream.
Armored
Souls. It'll be the game of the century. Any game is better with giant robots in it. Speaking of which, like, are we ever going to get like another Front mission? We're going to get one of those again.
We had a Front mission.
Did we have one recently?
Not recently.
Well, not recently.
2005.
The last one I played was like PS1, 2012.
But this Front mission was like a third-person action game.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Not the turn-based.
Front mission Evolved? Turn-based RPG.
Yeah. No. And that was pretty good too. That was really playable.
I think that was at E3 when we went that year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I wanted to get more into that, but there wasn't many people playing it. It was not bad, not terrible, but.
Interesting.
Yeah, but that kind of was in a way like kind of that accessible Armored Core. But I want the depth that. You know, like From Software can really put into that. Anywho.
More news.
They're Dark Souls out. I get it. They did not get good even by making the game.
I don't want to take any more Dark Souls. I don't want to make them.
Seriously. Man.
I'm so tired of making these amazing games that everyone loves. Oh, it's so tough.
Yeah.
That's how they talk over there.
As they sleep under their desks and they're... They don't even have walls in their cubicles. It's like one big pit.
It's one big pit. It's a spike pit.
Yeah.
A fiery spike pit. plus 4. Jason, do you want to sit back and relax, or do you want to take one of these news articles?
I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm going to relax.
Okay, he's going to sit back and relax, and I'm going to tell you guys about an end of another era. So a week ago, we lose the Xbox 360. What a shame. And then this week, we lose another Microsoft staple. Fable developer Lionhead has closed down. R.I.P.
Yeah, but we knew this was coming, right? So
we kind of saw this coming. We did kind of see this
after Fable 2, we knew this was coming.
More or less after Fable 3. That's when we started going, these guys aren't as invincible as we thought they were. But yeah, after nearly 20 years genre-defining titles, Lionhead closes its doors for the final and last time, and apparently they had a whole bunch of pictures on their Twitters and Instagrams. They threw a big party or something like that. It didn't seem like as somber of an affair as the gaming, you know, the gamer crowd is making it out to be, because everybody's like, oh, I'm pretty depressed about this. This is sad. This is like Prince level sadness. And it's, you see their pictures of their last day and they're like, you know, having a party, smiling, having a good time. So I think those guys will be all right. They're a talented crew.
Yeah. And, you know, and some of them probably hopefully got something going at Sony, you know, when they had that job fair thing that they were doing.
Possibly. Yeah. It looked like Microsoft was just holding out for a buyout.
That's an interesting concept.
There was a quote here. After much consideration, we have decided to cease development on Fable Legends and are also in discussions with employees about the proposed closure of Lionhead Studios in the UK. And it, the report continues with the consultation period over and no potential buyers in sight. Today, Friday, April 29th, which was yesterday as we're recording this, marks the last day in history of the esteemed developer. So they said it right there that there was a consultation period where they're actually offering other publishers or console developers to, you know, buy these guys, buy this team, and there were no buyers in sight. So what that's, you know, we know Sony put out like a public thing to the Lionhead crew saying that, you know, there's basically an open house this weekend for you only. So it seemed like they would want to pull these guys over for, you know, and figure out everybody's contracts that way, you know, aside from doing it by just buying Lionhead straight out. It seems like it was more of a dollars and cents thing, possibly. I just don't see how anyone would want to buy Lionhead.
I don't really have much of an opinion.
Fable Legends.
Yeah, IP. I mean, that's the thing. It's like the only thing they did was Fable, and it's like I didn't really care for any of those. So
just make another Fable. It would be great. Take your time. Give them a couple of years. Give them all the money they need, and they'll make an amazing game. Obviously, they can't call it Fable, but...
Right. Goddess 2 something.
There you go.
No.
But maybe not call it that.
Yeah, don't call it that. That wouldn't be smart. Don't call it that. So who's working on Goddess? Is it like 22 cans or some shit like that? Another Peter Molyneux joint.
That's Peter Molyneux. Isn't that his crew? Isn't that his home turf?
Yeah. I mean, Lionhead, I mean, they're like a branch of 22. I don't know the fucking lineage or
I
the
don't know.
Backstory, but I don't know. Fable Legends did not look that good. So I don't know. I'm not super shocked.
No. Well, that's what happens when you try to make bad microtransaction games.
All right. Should
you
we
get shut down?
What's this week? The elephant in the room is Nintendo, I think, right?
Yeah, that's kind of like the big one.
So I don't want to go too deep into this, but you know, there was the announcement that they did not do too well last year or something like
61% down from last year.
Yeah, and all of Nintendo made less than just PSN last year or something like that. So that's rough. They also announced that...
For them, that's rough, yeah.
Yeah. They also announced that the NX is going to be... Now, they said there were rumors of end of 2016. Was there ever anything confirmed?
There was no 2016?
I don't think there was.
No,
plenty
of leaks. Specific date.
Plenty of leaks from plenty of sources.
Yeah.
But, yeah, nothing official.
Yeah.
I seem to recall some other, like, Nintendo Direct where they were showing off the new Zelda, and they're like, this is going to be end of 2016, right? And they didn't know for sure. So, apparently, the new Zelda is coming to NX.
First,
I don't know. That's
right?
I think so. I'm not quite sure. So a lot of this news came out of like, you know, a shareholder, you know, the PDF. So a lot of business speak in that.
Right. But here's what got me a little bit. They basically said that the NX was going to launch worldwide in March, but they said that Zelda wasn't going to be a launch title, didn't they? Didn't they said it was going to come up later?
I don't know for sure.
I have to look
might
for
be
that,
right.
But
that might be right.
Yeah, it was. I guess
what we can kind of glean from that is that like no NX showing at E3, which not a huge surprise, you know, given that, you know, so many people have kind of pulled out of E3. It looks like Nintendo's not going to be showing anything big there. That's fine for them. I don't know how well that sits with other like third party developers that are currently working on NX shit. It's like, oh shit, now I can't show anything at E3. Great, thanks. Appreciate that, Nintendo.
Yeah, apparently the only thing they're going to have at E3 is like a booth of Zelda on the Wii U or something like that. And I guess I just want Zelda to be, I will happily buy Zelda again. I have no problem buying another Zelda. I just don't want it to be gimmicky. All right. So if you're going to use the gamepad, use it for something that's useful, like inventory management. Yeah. Don't make me aim with the gamepad and fly with the joysticks or something like that. Like you did Star Fox. Don't give me that bullshit. Just make it simple. Map, inventory, that kind of thing on the gamepad. That's fine. But just don't go overboard with it. So.
And make it top down. Get rid of that 3D shit.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, they did one with on 3DS like that, and that was really good. Like so, it's probably the best Zelda game I've played since the Super NES game. So, yeah, that's that. I don't know. I'm worried about Nintendo. And I still say that what I think would be great for Nintendo is for them to just leave the console business, stick to making portables, release their games on as a third party or even a second party on like Sony consoles, and let Sony release things on their portable consoles or vice versa, or you know, do a deal with both parties and you know both other console holders and have your games come out on both, and then let them release games on your portable. I mean, I think that's where they're going to be strongest. They're the strongest in the portable market, and I think they could easily leverage that to make a lot more money. But I don't know. I think maybe it's a pride thing at this point.
Miitomo is going to save them. Don't worry. They're going to be fine.
We'll see. We'll see. Hopefully. That's all the news, right?
I believe so. That's all right.
Let's talk about this very short new release list. Battleborn is coming out next week for Xbox One, PC, and PS4. Push Me, Pull You is coming for PS4. King of Fighters 2000 is going to be released for PS4. And Pocket Card Jockey is coming for 3DS. And that's it. That's your new release list.
Pocket Card Jockey might be interesting.
What is it?
Horse racing?
I'm not qualified to speak on Pocket Card Jockey, but I've heard some weird shit. It might be cool.
All right. Well, I heard Battleborn was boring. I didn't play it, so I don't know.
I get them confused with fucking Paragon and Overwatch. Like all and, so which one's Battleborn? Is that the Gearbox based, one, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Kind of the team-based MOBA? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Third person, like Smite. Okay.
Lots of characters.
Yeah, true. It's got a good
powers.
Look. Yeah. What it seems like to me is like a, you know, Team Fortress 2 class-based third-person MOBA, if you're into that. But not much else other than that.
Yeah, it's not my jam. I'm not going to mess with it.
Yeah, same here, unfortunately. No, not unfortunately. I don't fucking care for that shit.
Don't apologize. Other people like it, and that's great.
Yeah,
but respect to those guys, but not my thing.
I don't give a shit. Yeah. Pick of the week?
Pick of the week. Go play Alien Nation. That's my pick of the week.
Yeah, go pick that shit up. Or, you know, dust off your Rocket League controller.
There you go.
Or save some money. Put the $60 you're going to spend on a game into a savings account.
Well, you're probably going to want it to save until next week anyway, or the following week anyway. Because that's when Uncharted is coming out. So if you're planning on getting Uncharted, just save your money for that.
What's the cost of a rental at a Redbox? Like $5? You get it for the whole weekend. I mean, so that's like 2 days to return it.
But then they sit in the back seat, the back seat floorboard of your car for like an extra 3 weeks, and then this $5 rental just became like a $48.99 purchase.
Yeah, you're probably may right. As well just go ahead and buy the game, I guess.
Cool. All right. Let's see. That is it. So let's talk about next week's question of the week. So the way I kind of worded it is more of what the 360 did for gaming. So I'm wondering what people think that the 360 did for gaming. But we're doing basically a 360 retro next week. So we would love for you guys to contribute to that. If you would like to, please send us an email. That address is email at interactivedistractions.com. Or you can send us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337. Check us out on Twitter. We are in the podcast.
I mean, not really Travis.
No. Okay, it's like it.
It never has been Travis.
It's always been numbers, and that's all.
It's been almost. But it's not.
Unless. That's my favorite word in the entire English language.
Unless.
Why? Because
you can put it at the end of any comment, and it makes everything provocative.
Leave it open for interpretation.
Yeah.
Unless.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna go make a sandwich for lunch today.
Unless I make a party pizza.
Oh, it's amazing.
Pizza.
Doesn't it send chills down your... Oh, it's so good.
I ruined the intrigue.
Unless... look at that.
Check us out individually on Twitter as Indus Chris, Indus Travis. Jason, is it Unistrike right now?
At Unistrike Unless.
It's always Unless.
Or Indus Geoff. Unless... You can check us out on Facebook, Google Plus, Steam, Twitcher, Stitcher,
Twitcher,
and
box.
YouTube. Search for Interactive Distractions, and you will find us. And that is it. Do you guys have anything else before we wrap up?
It's going to be too late by the time you guys listen to this. But there's an Anime Weekend sale going on at Steam. It's Golden Week sale going on at PSN. Onichan Bar is like $13, but that's just the base game. You really need the expansion, the strawberries and banana expansion.
Strawberry and banana surprise.
Surprise. Mm. That's an additional $2.99,
banana
Chris?
Song.
I think so.
As my Onichan Bar expert. Okay.
Yes. As your Onichan Bar expert.
I'm not going to lie. I had a really good time with that engine. Like, that game is fun. Is it exploitive and gross at times? Fuck yeah, it is.
Hell yeah.
But shit, the game's all right. God damn
but,
it.
But did Jason enjoy every
afterwards.
Minute of it?
Yes. God damn it. Not for the gross reasons. Like, not kidding.
I completely understand. It's like I actually played one of the PS2 ones, and mm-hmm. it was
passable. Like,
it was
novel.
Fun. It was stupid
but,
fun.
Like this, I'm serious. This is.
Hey, I played.
It's a really
what was
good
the one
combat.
That I played. I played the one on Vita. What's it called?
I don't know, fucking know.
Peaches
Senran and Cream
or
Edition.
Senran or I don't know.
Oh, Senran Kagura.
Yeah,
stuff?
That. I played
Ninja
that.
Boobie
so,
stuff.
You know, it's dumb fun. You know, it's like. Okay.
But this is legit. They do some smart stuff with the combo engine. Oh God, I hate saying it, but I feel like I have to. Anyway.
Hey, that's right. Thank you.
That new Senran Kagura stuff on my PS4, it's fucking gross. I made it 30 seconds into that game, and I'm just like, nope, I'm so done.
Yeah, I saw like a video of it, and I was like, nope.
Why is that girl turned on by dead bodies and having her sister call her a fat cow? Wait, this is a video game. Okay, I'm not into this. This is not my kink. No, thank you. Done. Gross.
Anything else?
Unless.
Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please tell a friend about us. If you're on
Twitter. Or Twitcher. It's time to get ready to
rock. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Twitcher.
I'm Travis.
I'm Tweaker.
Play your games. And we'll talk to you next time.